This isn't just going to be my show. It's going to be really something that Ellen and I do together. And she's very good at stopping me when I get too profound for God. or when I get to off on tangents. We have most wonderful conversations. Ellen's able to keep me on the ground. She's able to... no one prays for me, save the Jesus at the right hand of God, more faithful than she. Ellen has been a companion of mine in ministry. I've been her companion in ministry since 1976. This is our 35th anniversary in about 6 weeks. It's an absolute privilege to meet her. I can't tell you. I probably should have married a couple of times before I married Ellen, but I was too much of a coward to do it. All my friends were getting divorces by the time I got around to wanting to get married. I met a couple of great girls, and they were wonderful, I'm sure. But God, what do you believe about predestination? I'm married. She's a Presbyterian. She believes it more than I do. But whatever we believe, we have to believe that God knows the future. In fact, God didn't really have future or past, does God? So everything is free will, and everything is destined. Because God makes a plan out of whatever we decide. And the fact that Ellen was there whenever it was time, it's just a wonderful gift of God. Every day I wake up and thank God that I've met this one and that God has made a plan out of our life. What a marvelous thing. Ellen will share a little bit about her life. It's marvelous, but I want her to give a devotion most of the session, but especially for this morning and tomorrow morning as well. My wife, Ellen DeCrone Stamps, and if she does have an accent, and it's not Michigan. It's Holland. Not Michigan.
I have a wonderful time here because there's another professor who comes. He was born almost in my same area, and I can hear his accent that he's from my area. So we loved yesterday. I have a couple of things that I just want to share about Corey. And Bob says simplicity, and he's my best friend as well. Sometimes I have to pray a little harder for everyone who is performing here, arts and speakers. You always ask your best friend not to say anything critical until the next day. But by the next day, you have forgotten what you want to say. So it's a wonderful thing when you love each other so much and you want to see that growth of Christ and the Holy Spirit in that person. Because that is what comes over to the people who are listening. It's often not the words, but the way we react. So thank you, Bob, and for giving me such a wonderful space to grow as well. We are in our 70s, and this time we are asked to go back to seminary in Wilmore, Kentucky, and Bob is going to be the dean of the chapel and a professor, and we are going to live with 200 graduate students. The houses are all built, and we are going into this little box house, and that's where we start our 35th year. Isn't that wonderful together? So this, I say this to you because sometimes it's a little scary when God says stop or calls, that God does not look at our ages and that God can use us until we say, Lord, I'm ready now. So I have a good example in Corrie ten Boom. She was 76 when I started to work with her. So Joyce, that's it. You're 76. And Corrie ten Boom had such a life in her that I didn't think about her as a 76-year person, old woman. And here she was always doing simple things. She would stand before a group of professors. I remember in the Naval Academy, and she would say, guys, women, can you imagine that I can put this pencil on the top of my finger? And she said, yes, I can, or I cannot, really. Who can? Well, there were no artists there. She said, but I can make it stand. And she would say, and then this wonderful Dutch watchmaker hands, she would hold that pen and put it on. See, you see, it stands. And you say so simple, but when people are so geared to mind, it's sometimes so good when it comes to the heart. And Corey kept her message on the ground. One of the things when I started with Corey that I discovered very quickly, that she had something that I didn't have as a child. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame and he remembers that we are dust. Corrie ten Boom spoke always with a wonderful security because she had a godly father. And when I started to work with her, I figured out I was missing the boat. And now, so many years later, I see so many people who don't have fathers. And you as pastors and counselors and all kinds of wonderful gifts in your life, if we cannot ground those hearts on the heart of Christ and on God. So from Corey I learned that a father is important. And I remember, I will tell you later, that one day I said to Tante Corey, Corey, you have such a great relationship with God as a father. I don't. And Corey, in her simplicity, says, just pray for it. God wants to be your father.
Yep.
That was all. So maybe some of you, in all your hard learning and finishing great work, that this is this wonderful gift that God brings to us. And then she had a wonderful part, and that was about sin. Sin, whatever weakens your, that is sins. Whatever weakens your reason, impairs the tenderness of your conscience, obscures your sense of God, or takes off the relish of spiritual thing, that thing is sin for me, however innocent it may be itself. I find sin separates us from God, and also we don't become very creative, maybe creative in the wrong way. I'd like to just give a little story about Bob and I. We were in the Kennedy Center some years ago, and we were listening to Isaac Stern. And Isaac Stern was playing the violin concerto of Beethoven. Well, we hadn't seen that. We were sitting in the middle of the Kennedy Center. But in the middle of this wonderful play, and you can just imagine Isaac Stern hanging in his violin in the front, suddenly we heard this. Can you imagine the performance that's going on for all these thousands of people? And suddenly you're interrupted, and then he looked, and there was a CP patient who could not let go of its program. His program was in his hand, and he couldn't stop moving. We looked, and there were all special need children in front of Isaac Stern. First, there came this expression of anger. Who dares to interrupt? And then suddenly he found out where the music came from. And he started to play into this child. And his music changed. His face changed. And you almost could feel the backs of people going towards this glorious music. It didn't just came out of the violin, but it came out of the heart. So my prayer for you and for myself is that today we will lean in. And if you're holding a piece of paper with all the tension inside, I can just imagine those who finished this wonderful degree, there is a lot of tension. New jobs, illnesses to cope with. That the God that we serve comes towards you. And he will play that music just for you. God bless you, God.
Thank you.